Welcome, Hawk fans. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Talk. I am your host, Colin Cole, along with my co-host, David Porter. David, thank you for joining me today.
Dude, I'm looking forward to getting into this. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. 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 So the Hawkeyes took on the Kentucky Wildcats in down in Nashville, in the Music City Bowl. And it was a tremendous game for the Hawkeyes in terms of output, in terms of scoring, getting an opportunity to see some of what they have going into the future. Nowhere near the outcome that the Hawks faced last year, facing the same Kentucky squad in the VRBO Citrus Bowl, where they took a 3-point loss. But this year, this team, and the team that was fielded by both teams, squared off, and the Hawkeyes emerged victorious, David. And so let's jump right into it. Joey Labus, the first-time starter at quarterback for this Hawk team, went 14 for 24, 139 yards, and one touchdown to one of the guys that I mentioned that I said in the pregame that wasn't going to participate. They pulled a dinky on us and just went ahead and said something else in the scouting report and said that he wasn't going to participate. But Sam LaPorta played the entire game despite the tear that he had, and I believe his MCL or PCL, I'm not sure, but he suffered an injury just in November, and was still able to suit up this past Saturday, December 31st, and play a significant role in the Hawkeyes' win, catching himself a touchdown, or I should say catching the ball and creating a play with that. So it was a tremendous output offensively for this group, actually. And Sam LaPorta did not catch the touchdown. It was Luke Lachey. Okay, that'll get fixed. But Sam LaPorta did have a tremendous output. I saw him make some tremendous plays. He had 5 receptions, 56 yards, and he was true to form. He made a tremendous catch and run on one of those plays where we saw him elude about 5 or 6 defenders. That was a pretty good job by the other man. The receiving core is rounded up by Luke Lachey, who had 3 receptions for 36 yards, and that touchdown, like I just mentioned. Deontay Vise had 2 receptions. Nico Ragaini, I'm glad they made that distinction because I sure was calling him Ragaini for the longest. I'm glad that he stood up for himself and said, "Hey, man, my name is not Ragaini. It's Ragaini." David, you know, there's one thing that I have a pet peeve about is mispronunciation of names. As easy as it may seem, Colin is a name that can be pronounced. It's been butchered throughout my life. So I understand Nico wanted to make sure that all publications of his name, anybody saying his name says it correctly. Ragaini. He definitely did a good job and made some plays both in the receiving and as well as getting in downfield blocking. He got himself a run for 5 yards as well. So and he will be returning this next season as a senior to round out that receiving core. I should say to start out that receiving core. But going back to the game, those guys did a tremendous job in receiving the run game. David took a step back. It was not the run game that we've seen all season, man. These guys had a total of 67 yards on how many carries did they have? It seemed like it was about 20 some odd carries, and they only were able to amass 67 yards. So the running game, the Kentucky did a great job of really taking away that running game, making it difficult for the Hawkeye runners to establish their running game. But this offense overall, led by Joey Labus, looked different, David. It looked different than what we've seen all season. What is your assessment of what you saw in that game in the bowl game?
Well, when I looked at the bowl game, I saw a bunch of guys that were actually starting to get into their own, so to speak. The running game, as you said, it did take a step back. The pass game seems to have taken a step forward for the Iowa offense. Obviously, we didn't expect all of that to actually occur, given that this was Joey Labus' first start, right? And he's traveling all the way down to Nashville, Tennessee to play in this Music City Bowl. And he did a really good job of controlling the tempo of the game and really being in control of his emotions. You know, as we said earlier, the defense really stepped up for Iowa with two pick sixes. That was quite amazing what they did, and really kept. I think they set a record for the Music City Bowl for a shutout. That was the first time that's ever happened at the Music City Bowl. So the Iowa, it is. I'm going to do another one. They are who we thought they were, right? The defense really stepped up and scored points. We said that in the last episode. And the offense really didn't turn the ball over, which to me were really the two things that I should say three things that really were the differentiators in this game, right? We won the turnover battle. We did not win the time of possession, but the turnovers that were immediate point turnovers for us, that was huge. And then being able to control the tempo on the offense and that quote unquote make a lot of mistakes really helped control the game. Punt, flip the field, keep these guys locked in. I know Kentucky didn't have a lot of their offensive guys, whatever. We had kind of anticipated the defense taking over. So, all in all, it was a good game. It really was. Sam Laporta coming in, you're talking about that one reception he had where he was like a dancing bear going down the field, stiff arming people, doing a spin. That was actually really impressive to watch him do that, especially with this his injury. Luke Lachey did his thing. Very proud of that young man. He's he's going to be one heck of a tight end for the Hawks. The game, it just is what we thought it was. I hate to call it this one, but it's a victory. It wasn't pretty, not that I could see, but I know you like these kind of games. The defense kind of dominates. I get that.
Well, do I like to see defensive scores? Yes. Do I like to see defensive shutouts? Absolutely. Do I like these kind of games? I definitely would love to have seen more output from an offense, particularly in the running game. But it was a victory, especially like you mentioned, first shutout in that bowl game in its history. So that was tremendous by this group of guys to be able to do so. Switching over to the defensive side against this Kentucky group, Captain Jack, the well-decorated middle linebacker for the Iowa Hawkeyes, had himself 10 tackles and one sack. I saw him run that young man down from behind and get that sack. I was like, he got it. He's going to definitely see himself. He's going to make himself some money playing on Sundays. I could see it happening for him.
That came to play.
Xavier Wampach, eight tackles and one interception as well. Cooper DeJean, seven tackles and an interception. And Cooper DeJean got the defensive player of the game. He got the player of the game for the bowl game. So that young man, as a true freshman, came in and has put his stamp on the season. But overall, these young men have played a tremendous job. Done a tremendous job. I'm gonna make sure I highlight Xavier, who made his first career start, who came in and played it for Kayvon Merriweather, who decided to opt out and get himself prepared for the NFL draft. But X Man, as his teammates and everybody so affectionately call him, X did a tremendous job of reading quarterback's eyes. The quarterback was a little bit skittish all day, I can't lie to you. The quarterback, Destin Wade, he went 16 for 30, 98 yards and two interceptions. But he particularly, he definitely, he looked like he was uncomfortable. He looked more comfortable running with the football. He had 16 carries for 29 yards rushing. But in terms of passing the ball, he looks like he's got a little bit of work to be done. And then they had Deuce Hogan come in and play. Deuce Hogan, we know, was Iowa's third string quarterback a couple of years ago, or last year, and decided to transfer and ended up in Kentucky's arms. He came in and went 6 for 7. He went 6 for 7, baby. He only threw one incompletion, but he only threw that for 19 total yards. So their offensive output wasn't the greatest. Juton McClain, 10 carries, 40 yards. Destin Wade was the second leading carrier for 16 carries for 29 yards. So, but this Hawkeye defense did a tremendous job of shutting down this Kentucky Wildcats offense, who had been really prolific throughout the season, and really just gave them opportunity to look at what they have coming back since they lost their starting quarterback to the to the opt out. So, any other things you got on this defense, David?
Not really. They continue to perform the way that they have performed all year. We've been talking about how special they are, along with the special teams, for a while. I said this defense for this year, they're better than they were last year, and I didn't think that was possible. But these guys have really stepped up. They're scoring machines. Cooper coming back and playing in this bowl game was a little bit of a surprise for me. I thought he was a little more hurt than that, but it just goes to show he's a really tough guy and a really big competitor. So good for him. I'm glad he got defensive player of the game. He has done a tremendous job for the Hawks, both on special teams and on defense, to really make this team go and do what needs to be done. Getting back to Dustin or Destin, with that defense, I mean, most people are going to be uncomfortable back there, especially with the offensive line like he was behind. He was under pressure the entire game. So I'm not surprised by the intimidation factor that the defense has. You know, Van Ness, that whole defensive line, they were in his face the whole game. And we're talking about pressures. We can talk about sacks when we want to, but there were pressures that were on him. And you know how it is. When the quarterback starts to hear footsteps and starts to feel different things because he's been pressured, he's been touched, that changes the way he thinks about things, the way he feels that pocket presence. And that's going to disrupt his natural rhythm, his natural way of being. And Destin being a dual threat, I think he relied on the thing he was used to, running. You know, versus just sitting back in the pocket and trusting his eyes and actually trusting his arm, he panicked a little bit and went out there and started to run and try to do more and do things outside of his comfort zone that really got him to the point where, you know, those two interceptions really got to him.
Yeah, I guess throwing is probably a little bit out of his comfort zone, but, you know, that's the job of the quarterback. So if he wants to do that in college football, he's going to have to work on that in this offseason. So we'll see how that works out for them. Obviously, like I mentioned, Deuce Hogan is obviously waiting in the wings, trying to get himself an opportunity to play as well. So we'll see. Good luck to that Kentucky group. I'm sure that they'll find themselves some success next season. But, you know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. The Hawks end 8-5 and fourth in the Big Ten West division. And going into this offseason, David, we got a lot to kind of talk about. Man, I mentioned some of the opt-outs, some of the guys that are leaving the program. We got to make sure we make mention to who's being added to the program. We got to make mention to the fact that Cade McNamara is coming to be an Iowa Hawkeye. He's going to be competing for the starting job at quarterback. We'll see how things work out for him. His career stats, 3,181 yards passing, 21 touchdowns versus 21 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions. It was a 63.1% completion rating. His 2021 stats, he had, that was the year that he led the Michigan Wolverines. That was last year, obviously, led the Michigan Wolverines to the Big Ten title game where they won that game handily against our very own Iowa Hawkeyes. And last season, he threw 2,576 passing yards, 15 touchdowns against just 6 interceptions. So he's going to definitely add some well-needed experience to that quarterback room. Coming along with him from the University of Michigan is one of his favorite targets, tight end Eric Aull. Eric All's career stats, 54 receptions, 565 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Eric All is another young man who will be coming with McNamara from the University of Michigan. Those are the two guys that they have gone from, who the Hawkeye coaching staff has taken from the transfer portal and are coming to Iowa City. Now, let's jump over to the side of the guys that are leaving. We already talked about Alex Padilla making that decision and making it verbally, and he will be making that leap to enter the portal along with Arlen Bruce. Arlen Bruce had 44 catches throughout his career, 396 yards, 2 touchdowns, 22 carries for 112 yards and 4 touchdowns. However, 2022, it is glaring as to why he left. 19 catches all year for 187 yards and 1 touchdown. And then he had additional 12 carries for 47 yards and one touchdown. So he was underutilized completely this season. Keegan Johnson is another one that's leaving this season. He's entered the portal. He had his career stats, 20 catches, 363 receiving yards, and two touchdowns for his career this past season due to it was a definitely injury-plagued season. He had only two catches for 11 total yards before deciding to leave the Hawkeye program. Running back Gavin Williams had a career stats of 116 total carries for 471 yards and no touchdowns. This past season, he had 43 carries for 138 yards, nine catches for 44 receiving yards. But with that stable of backs, he got lost in the shuffle, and so he's decided to take his talents elsewhere. Josh Volk is an offensive guard who's actually – he was the number five player in the state of Iowa. He was the 32nd-ranked offensive guard in the nation. So we'll be losing that young man's talents as he decides to move on. Justin Jacobs, we already talked about. He's moving on to the University of Oregon. I won't get into his stats. He did a good job while he was able to play. Defensive back Reggie Bracey, he's played 22 games, 10 tackles, one pass defense. 10 in 2022, he played all in 10 games, and he only had four tackles, so he's decided to leave. We mentioned Terry Roberts, who is a senior. He's had 47 tackles throughout his career, seven passes defense, and two interceptions. This past season, he had 13 tackles, three passes defense, and one interception before succumbing to injuries. Dallas Creedith has not played. Well, he played 10 games throughout his career. He played only two games this past season for one tackle. And then tight end Elijah Yelverton, he has played in no snaps since joining the University of Iowa. He had a medical red shirt. He was actually medically retired. He was previously medically retired from Iowa, and he's actually entered the transfer portal. He is the 21-ranked tight end in the country, 522-ranked player nationally, 69th-ranked player out of Texas. And then that leads us, well, we have those movements throughout the program, guys that have decided to move on and enter the transfer portal. And then we have one late addition to this group, David. Defensive lineman Lucas Van Ness has declared for the 2023 NFL draft. Surprisingly enough, he's decided to declare for the draft. Baby Hercules has decided to to enter the draft. Lucas Van Ness, out of Illinois, did a tremendous job coming out of Illinois and joining this program. It was it's a bit surprising to me. It's a bit surprising. Why? But he was a part of the 2020 class. So this is what? This is our second year? He's only 2 years. He was a three-star signee out of Barrington High School in Barrington, Illinois, part of the 2020 class, like I mentioned. He had 27 total offers from schools such as Minnesota, Kansas State, Kansas, Illinois, Tulane, Army, Navy, and Air Force. He's only appeared, David, in 27 total games as a Hawkeye over the last two seasons, and he's been decently productive. He turned out 71 total tackles. He actually had 71 total tackles throughout his career, 20 of those for loss, and 14 sacks. So 27 games, 14 sacks. That's
a production.
A little over a half a sack a game. Sticks out to you in all those names that I mentioned. What sticks out to you the most, and who do you think is going to have the biggest impact wherever they decide to move on to?
Well, when I look at all the names that you're giving me, it's kind of across the board, right? It's heavily on the offense, not so much on the defense. We're having some defensive players that are leaving as well. It seems to be a lot of the guys that are just, for whatever reason, I don't even want to speculate. How about that? I don't know what exactly is going on with these guys. I really don't. But the one thing I do notice, we do have a lot of offensive transfers. The defensive guys that are transferring are guys that used to play for us that did start that did get hurt. They're not playing right now, or they weren't playing. I'm not sure how they felt going through that whole rehabilitation process to get back to the point where they can play. You know, that's a big part of it. It's how do I feel when I'm going through my struggles, right? These are still kids that we're talking about, and they have their emotions, and they wear their emotions, a lot of them, on their sleeve. Very sensitive young men, as we all were back then. So with these kids, you know, football is everything. Football is life. This is pretty much all they know. This is what they've been groomed to do. They lack the, they don't have the perspective we have as adults, knowing that this is, football is just a part of your life, and it's not your entire life. It is something that you are, that you have, that you do. It is not who you are. And, you know, some of these kids may associate that with who they are, and rightfully so, wrongfully so, that just where they are mentally. The things that really, that really, for me, I find troubling is the turnover of, I call it capital. So you have a lot of guys that have been in the program for a while. I think it was a couple, one or two, the seniors and juniors, right? So you have all that experience, the guys that have been through the program that know how things work, that are now taking those talents to go in other places, like Charlie Jones. He's one of those guys that did that as well. Tyrone Tracy did that too. So having guys go some other place, and then if they do perform well, that just reflects poorly on us. And whatever it is, it's just perception. Doesn't make a reality, but that's the perception that's out there. So that's what I'm noticing. That's what I see. I'm not sure if you see anything different. What do you think?
So I'm looking at this group of guys that have entered the transfer portal, and I count 10 of them, 10 guys. And when I'm looking at this list of guys, I'm seeing some colored photos of these young men, and there's one glaring thing that I have to say that I haven't really said a whole lot about throughout the season or throughout any of our times of talking, but I got to say it. 7 out of the 10 guys that are transferring and leaving the program are young men of color. I noticed that, and I got to make mention to it. I feel as though one of the key factors of college football is recruiting young men to come to your program. These young men that have come, these young men of color that have come to this program, generally speaking, have come from other states. This is out of state recruiting. You're going and getting these young men. I know that Arlen Bruce, I believe he's from Kansas. You know, I don't see, okay, first of all, I'll just say this. First of all, to be able to recruit this kind of talent to be contributors on your team in whatever capacity they are, you have to make sure you do a tremendous job of creating an environment that makes these young men want to stay in your program. Today's day and age with the transfer portal really makes it it really makes it for a free agency, NFL model of free agency for where the college program is. For me, coming out of high school, coming to the University of Iowa back in 1999, where I first stepped on campus, I don't say first step on campus, but my first couple of weeks, months on campus, I felt like it was one of the most difficult times of my life, making the adjustment to being in Iowa City and being a part of that culture. So had I had the transfer portal back then, I more than likely may have left the program. However, when I gave the program a real opportunity to really see where it would take me, I really found a home with the support staff that was in place while I was there. I don't know. I know that a number of those guys have moved on. A few of them have passed on. Some of them have retired out, but for the most part, the assets, the support that was there when I was there has not been replenished, and they worked diligently to try to do so, but I don't know that they've done a good enough job overall of creating an environment that is conducive to making these young men comfortable being away from home. So that's one area that I struggle with. And then let's see, let's go back through this again. Let's go back through this list. So we have one, like I said, seven of the 10. Let's say one is a tight end, defensive back/cash, offensive lineman, running back, receiver. So it's a lot of skill players, including Alex Padilla, a lot of skill players. And please help me if I'm wrong here, but you need those guys to be able to match up with the talent that you're going to be playing against. So I'm worried about replenishing this kind of talent that this program is losing. And I'm also worried about whether they're creating an environment when they do get the opportunity to bring in young men of color. If the environment is conducive to making it a comfortable environment for them to flourish and want to complete their careers as a Hawkeye.
Yeah, when you have 7 out of 10 of the kids that are kids of color, and a few of those guys were starters for us and performed really well, that really does make you question things. And to be honest, I really didn't look at it that way right now until you just said that. You kind of know my history with the program and the things we've done with them together. The resources, the lack of resources that were once available to you and to me when we were there, that allowed us to be one of the best teams in Iowa history when we were there. That's our 2002 team. That may or may not be part of the reason we're having such turnover of this caliber. And I'm with you. The ability to compete in the future is going to be really depend on our ability to recruit and retain talent. And if these kids that are coming in there don't feel comfortable being there, it's going to be tough for us sledding. Because when I look at teams like Georgia and Alabama, they have a distinct different look than what we have. I always question, Alabama can do it, Georgia can do it, Iowa can do it too.
There's no question that if young men are willing to go to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, I gotta believe that Iowa City, Iowa can be equally as much of a destination place for student athletes. So we'll see. And this is the end of the 2022 season. It was a great job by those young men to finish out the season on a high note, winning their bowl game 21-0. And it's a springboard going into off-season training and really seeing what you got. You know, McNamara comes in, but Joey Labus showed that he has some ability. So he may have played himself into an opportunity with Spencer Petras still being on the roster. It's going to be a competition, no question. And I'm hoping that the best person shows themselves and is the leader of this offense going into the new season. So we'll get more into, I think we should get a little bit more into what's left to, I should say, these position groups once the transfer portal and transfers have been all decided on, and we just kind of go from there. So be on the lookout. We'll be dropping another episode in the near future talking about some of the movements and what else is going on in the program. But in the meantime, I appreciate you guys for watching. Appreciate you guys for sticking with us all season. It's been a great overall season. We had a lot to talk about, and it's been a great overall opportunity to watch this group of Hawkeyes grow and really become a team, you know, especially that defense. The defense ended the season as one of the top five defenses in the country, and rightfully so. And it was a great opportunity and great honor to watch those guys all season. So, David, got anything to go once to head out?
No, just I'm going to echo a lot of what you said. That defense really pulled us through this year. And it was really a special thing to watch them come together and pull this team and lead this team to the victories that we were able to get this year. So I'm looking forward to watching this team grow and continue doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well, that's our show. For David Porter, I'm Colin Cole. Thank you all for joining us on Hawk Talk, and be on the lookout for the next episode, and that may drop. It will drop at some point, and we'll publicize it. So thank you guys for joining us. God bless and go Hawks.
Go Hawks.